Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Good Thursday afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Excited to be with you here on what's been a windy, windy Thursday. Ryan Kelly doing the production work, as always. On this program, you kind of know how it works. We get into the news for Northern Colorado. We'll get to that in just a moment. Then I give you my thoughts on the biggest story across the nation, across the world normally. And then we have our VIP guest. Today, we're doing things a little bit differently. I'll get into news for Northern Colorado, but we have not just one. We have two VIP guests that will be joining us this afternoon. Weld County Commissioner Scott James will join us for a quick interview to talk about, well, the county commissioners had a phone call with Governor Polis, and we're going to pick his brain on exactly how that went down. Obviously, it's no secret that the county commissioners don't always see eye to eye with the governor. The governor doesn't see eye to eye with the commissioners. So I was intrigued to see that they sat down with a phone call for about 30 minutes. Of course, the commissioners in a Facebook post said that the governor told them good job on how they've handled this. So I want to talk with Scott James about that as we continue to see an uptick in cases, hospitalizations across the state, more counties falling backwards. Weld County doesn't seem to be doing that. So we'll talk with Scott James about why that is and how to go about these next coming weeks and months into this. Then we will talk with Cindy Mackin with the Winter Wonderlights. This is something that the city of Greeley puts on every single year, and they're doing it again this year. It's something I know we've got staff members here at the station that will go every single year and check it out. And yet again, they're doing it even with 2020 COVID-19. They're going to get this done. Their first couple of shows start on November 14th. So we'll talk with Cindy about everything that we need to know, what's different this year about it. Is it going to be pretty much the same? We'll talk with her as well. But again, this is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies here on 1310 KFK. If you want to be a part of the conversation, it's 970-397. I was giving my cell phone out there. 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. If you got my cell phone, you can text me as well. But the KFK text line is 31-996-31996. I've been leaving too many voicemails, it sounds like, today. But again, it's 970-353-1310. Let's get into it. The biggest story that I've been gathering information on today, and it has since been made official, is that District 6, the school district, will be going full remote learning effective on Monday. That's when things will change for the Greeley Evans District 6 schools. They will finish out this week. The football game that we have scheduled to broadcast tomorrow, Roosevelt versus Northridge at District 6 Stadium, will take place, but they will be going all remote learning. And in an article posted on GreeleySchools.org on their website, it starts with, "It is with great disappointment and a heavy heart that I announce that all Greeley Evans District 6 schools, including charter schools," so that does mean university, "must move to remote learning beginning next week through the winter break." The winter break is the final break leading into 2021. So for the rest of 2020, they will be on remote learning the entire way through. They had this threshold that they didn't want to pass, and unfortunately it has. The COVID-19 positivity rate is now exceeding 15% in Weld County, and they're making the call right now that to support the safety and well-being of our staff, students, and community members, we must make this move to remote learning. We plan to return to in-person learning following winter break on January 5th, 2021, and if this is not possible, we will share plans for the second semester by mid-December. So the last day, which of course this is kind of terrifying in and of itself, is that tomorrow is Friday the 13th in 2020. That's terrifying enough the way it is. But that will be the last day of in-person learning for all of the schools beginning on Monday. Here are the regulations and how it's going to look. Beginning Monday, November 16th, all high schools will move to remote learning. Students will log in on Monday and follow their normal schedule each day. Kindergarten to eighth grade schools, including elementary, K-8, and middle schools, will move to fully remote learning on Tuesday, November 17th. Monday, November 16th will be a day off for K-8 through 8 students, giving staff time to prepare for remote learning. Preschool parents will be provided access to supplemental learning materials. Students who are currently learning online will continue with their online teachers and instructions. District 6 will not be making any shifts to or from the online school until the end of the semester. So that's not going to change. I mean, that what they are putting into place right now is what will be the lay of the land until the end of 2020. And I know that's stressful to a lot of people, but I think that's probably, you know, I guess it's the right move. You see colleges doing it. I don't agree with colleges doing it. High schoolers, if they feel like they can be in more of a controlled environment and still learn, then absolutely go do it. This remote learning, continue reading out here, because my first question was, what about attendance? Well, attendance will be taken and is required. So they're going to try and count that. That'll count in grades, I'm sure. This remote learning will look very different than it did in the spring. Students will follow the exact same schedule as they did for in-person learning. That's going to be tough. I had a hard enough time paying attention while I was in class. Staring at a computer screen for 8 hours out of the day, that's tough. And you're not going to have a ton of interaction with friends. Good luck controlling cell phone usage, because that was something they were stressing hard when, even back in my day, which wasn't that long ago, but they were trying to make sure that we didn't have our cell phones out. And there's some that could and some that would, and a lot didn't. But now you talk about distracted learning. This is clearly not ideal for anybody. But it's what Deidre Pilch and the District 6 Board of Education feels needs to happen. Dr. Deidre Pilch, she's the superintendent of D6, was the one who wrote this letter. It's tough. It's very tough. But we'll see how it works, and we'll see if come 2021, if we'll be able to see more, get back to that in-person learning aspect and get back to seeing schools look more familiar to what we're used to seeing, because right now it's not looking great. And we knew that this was going to be the case, right? We talked about this 3 weeks back, 4 weeks back now, saying, We have these cohorts that are randomly, they're quarantining. What happens the next time around? Is it just easier on everybody just to go remote learning? And I think it seems like we're starting to find the answer is yes to that, at least for District 6. Now, I haven't heard anything from any other schools. I know the other schools are dealing with different cohorts being quarantined, but still not going to full remote learning. And will they follow suit? I don't know. We know a couple of things with this virus, right? One being, right now, our numbers are skyrocketing. Number two, that when it's cold outside, more people gather indoors. And those two things, that combination of things, it doesn't set up real great for COVID-19 numbers to stay low. Because you've got a virus that is transmitted much easier through indoors activity together, and you've got already hospitals and case numbers that are not, the hospitals aren't getting overwhelmed yet, but they are being pushed to a point that we haven't seen before. So what does that mean? Well, it means that something's got to change in District 6, hoping that this may help a little bit with this. I had a business owner that I talked to the other day that was concerned that Weld County could be going back into falling to an orange or a red, just like a ton of counties in the state. And simply put, they said, this isn't just about wearing masks anymore. and it's not. And wondered when this was going to be the case. But Costco, if you remember back to when this started, Costco was one of the first retailers to say, yeah, you've got to wear a mask in our stores. This story from Kelly Tycho out of the USA Today. Well, now not only do you have to wear a mask, but if you have a medical exemption, you have to wear some sort of a face shield. So they're changing it a little bit. The only exception of anybody who can be in Costco without a mask or without a face shield are children under the age of 2. So Costco is still being very forward with this. Members and guests must wear face masks that cover their mouth and nose at all times, Costco said on its COVID-19 updates page. Individuals who are unable to wear face masks due to a medical condition must wear a face shield. Entry to Costco will be granted only to those wearing a face mask or face shield. So not breaking, but the fact that it's adding another layer to that. So for anybody who says that I do have a health condition, I can't wear a mask, they're saying too bad. You got to wear a face shield. And it'll be interesting to see at the end of 2020 what that does to their revenue, because it will definitely change. Is it going to be better because they have been more cautious about it? Or is it going to worsen because people are like, well, you know what? I don't really feel like putting that on. I can just run over here to this store and don't have to wear one. That's a legitimate question. All right, one more story here for news for Northern Colorado before we get to our interview with Scott James, Weld County Commissioner, coming up. So Windsor's trying to do something new, and I actually like this idea, but I want to hear from you guys. Windsor police are asking residents to register their cameras to help with crime prevention. This story out of the Greeley Tribune by Trevor Reed. They're pretty much saying if you've got a house and you've got a camera out there, if you've got some sort of security unit out there, they want you to register and say, hey, if there is a crime that happens in my block or somewhere that is visible with my cameras, we can use it. We can use your camera footage. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do that. To me, it seems like a no-brainer, and I think that this is something that could grow. Property owners are not required to register the cameras, and they can unsubscribe at any time. But it's not intended for active or live feed surveillance or for monitoring residents in the neighborhood. So they're not just going to be like, oh, I wonder what the Smiths are doing this evening, and click it. Like, that's not what they're going to do. They will not have remote nor direct access to residents' private video systems. Police will have to secure the owner's permission and cooperation to view, download, or copy any recorded incident. Right. I get that they can do that now, right? If crime happens in your neighborhood, they're going to start knocking around and say, hey, did you see anything? Do you have any cameras? I get that already. But the fact that you could pre-register and say, yeah, I've got this security system, here's where it goes, and they know a crime happened in that area, they don't have to. It saves cops time, and it could catch criminals faster. I really do like this idea, and I think it's something that more people should try. Here's a quote from Police Chief Rick Klimek. We know that the use of video monitoring devices is on the rise. Our goal is to tap into this resource as a way to deter and solve crime, and we're asking residents to help. Hopefully we'll have so much participation that criminals will find it hard to commit crimes in Windsor. I think it's a great idea. I really do. So we'll see if they can continue on with it and grow it, because that would go a long way. You got more people working together to catch the bad guys. That is a good thing. Did just get a note here from Scott James. He will not be able to join us this afternoon. He had an emergency that came up real quick, so he's going to have to cancel this afternoon. So we will come back, and I'll talk more about what I saw from this county commissioner's meeting and phone call with Governor Polis. What did it all look like? Let's talk about it when we come back on the other side. It's NoCo Now, presented by the J9 agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Morning traffic, news, and weather on Mornings with Gail. Now back to NoCo Now on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in NoCo Now. presented by the J9 Agencies here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. I'm Tanner Schwint. As we've talked about at great length on this program, time and time again, COVID-19 numbers and where we're trending, where we're headed, and I thought that this was interesting, and this actually caught my eye, and looking forward to talking again here with Kevin Ross, Weld County Commissioner. Kevin, you had a phone call with Governor Polis the other day. That's something that I don't know if that happens very often, where the governor and the Weld County Commissioners can come and talk and figure some stuff out.
You heard about that little phone call, huh, Tanner?
I did. I heard just a little bit about it, but I'm interested to learn a little bit more, Kevin. What was this all about?
Well, this is the first scheduled phone call we've had with the governor since the pandemic broke out back in, into February, 1st of March, as we're all aware. And, you know, it was a great conversation with the governor. He praised Weld County. He praised our health department, District 6. He praised the county commissioners and how we've been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. And then he talked to us about some things that he had some concerns on, asked if we had any questions. And, you know, conversation lasts about 25, 30 minutes, Tanner. But overall, it was a great opportunity to speak with Governor Polis and Jill Ryan from CDPHE.
Kevin, you could see why some people might, their eyes might get a little wide when you say that the governor applauded how Weld County has handled it, because it seems like Weld County and Governor Polis were not on the same page when this first started.
You know, that's a great point. You know what he actually applauded us on? He said Weld County's cases actually trended far below most of the rest of the state throughout the summer months and into the fall. And you know, he said he appreciated how hard we're working at it. He applauded again, like I said earlier, our health department and what a A-plus job they've done handling and how just they're really one of the premier health departments in the state. And yeah, it's probably not something everyone expected. I you know, I admit I was slightly caught off guard myself, right? But it was a very productive and cordial conversation with Governor Polis.
So is this a turning of the page, Kevin? Is this something, are you and you guys and the governor going to be on a regular basis making these calls now?
You know, I would welcome, you know, future calls from the governor. It is nice to reach out, right? Because the state is different. Not every county is the same. And, you know, Weld County, we have 32 communities in our own county, and not every community in our county is the same. And so as we look at how we're tackling this COVID-19 pandemic, it really takes different sets of view, because there's different solutions for nearly all areas across the county. When you're looking from rural to metropolitan, it can't be a one-size-fits-all.
We're talking with Weld County Commissioner Kevin Ross after a phone call the other day with Governor Polis. A couple of questions here for you, Kevin. First of all, was it Governor Polis who initiated this call?
It was. His office had reached out to us earlier the prior week, and they were talking with the health department, and health department said, you know, it'd be great if you guys wanted to reach out to the commissioners, and they would love to chat with you. And so Governor Polis's representative scheduled that with us for Tuesday at 1:30, and we had that phone call. So it was great to have that happen.
Well, and in the middle of the phone call, you mentioned, Kevin, that he had some concerns over a couple of things. Do you care to elaborate?
Yeah, you know, he brought up the rising hospital rates, as we're all watching that. You know, really, Tanner, COVID positivity rates are skyrocketing. If you're watching the news, if you're watching our county website, you'll see a real rise and a rapid rise in that positive case results that are coming out. And so he just wanted to make sure we are watching those hospital rates. And the question, you know, I brought up to him was, you know, I recognize that, Governor, but, you know, we had a overflow setup at the ranch just over there at the Budweiser Center, as everyone's aware here in Weld County.
Right.
Should our hospitals get overwhelmed, there's an additional 250 beds to help treat the non-severe COVID-19 patients, but, you know, yet treat them. And that got demobilized by the governor and his team back in September. And I asked him to go through that that thought process and that decision process as to why stand it down. And he said they were more concerned right now, not with just hospitalizations, but more the ICU cases that are coming in with the COVID-positive patients.
Talking with Weld County Commissioner Kevin Ross here after a phone call with the governor just the other day. And so one of the things that's been a topic of conversation, not just here in Weld County, but across the state, has been this dial, the COVID-19 dial dashboard, right? And everybody's been looking to say, okay, now we're at yellow. Could we move to orange? Could we move to orange? What are your thoughts and the commissioner's thoughts on this dashboard and what that means for Weld County?
You know, the dashboard's the governor's reference point. Here's what we as Weld County commissioners want to continue to emphasize to the residents of Weld County. This is serious, right? We ask that you look at this seriously. Take precautions should you choose to. You know, again, the things we've been stressing from the very start, and it's simple things. Wash your hands, right? Keep some social distancing going on when it's available. And just be mindful of others. Monitor your health. Self-monitor that health. And if you're having symptoms, you know, act appropriately. Consult a health physician on that so that, you know, we stop that spread and we can maybe slow down the rising trend we're seeing in cases right now. And we really have entrusted the people of Weld County with their personal rights, their personal liberties to do that throughout this. And, you know, that's come under some scrutiny, but we believe it is working. And we're calling on those Weld County residents right now. You know, continue to exercise those rights, but just be mindful of your own personal surroundings, your own personal health, and continue to follow those easy things we can do to stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus.
So what are if Weld County falls back, and I know we're playing a what-if game here, and I know that that can be dangerous to play all the time, but hey, that's what I get paid to do here, Kevin. If Weld County falls into orange and, heaven forbid, red, will the commissioners recognize that dial as what the regulations and what the guidelines will be for businesses?
You know, we've always said we didn't close any businesses. We're not opening them. We stand behind the residents of Weld County and their ability to make their personal choices. It really comes down to a personal transaction with individuals and whether they feel safe going out and doing business, whether that's going to a grocery store, a Home Depot, or a restaurant. And we stand behind them and their ability to assess the situation and make a determination on their own accord whether that's the right choice for them. And we are going to always recognize their rights. We just ask that people continue to be mindful, practice those, you know, simple health things that they can do, right? The washing the hands, the self-distancing is 6 feet, and, you know, just assess that health and make sure, you know, it is the right thing for you. And we trust the people of Weld County to make the correct decision for themselves. We can't blanket the county with a one-size-fits-all, just like, you know, we were talking earlier that the governor would struggle to do that for the whole state.
And so right.
We recognize that inside of Weld County. We recognize that some businesses will choose to follow stricter guidelines. You know, some school districts, they're closing to in-person education right now until we get through the holidays, but that's them assessing what is right for them, and we recognize that as well, county commissioners, and we think that's the proper role of government, Tanner.
Kevin, appreciate the insight as always. Thanks for jumping on such late notice. We always appreciate talking with you. Thanks for all of the great work you've done this year and catching up with us whenever we ask. Kevin Ross, Weld County Commissioner, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tanner. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks. That is, again, Weld County Commissioner Kevin Ross. I thought it was fascinating. And I know we'll talk with Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. I know that we'll talk with him next week as well, because this isn't anything small. The Weld County Commissioners and the governor, this is the first time since this pandemic started that they've had a conversation. This is not a small thing. So I think it's a fascinating thing. You learned a little bit more there from Kevin Ross about what was talked about. And the governor applauding, you know, he cannot deny the stats that have come out of Weld County. So far, Weld County has done a pretty good job at it, regardless of what you think of the commissioners or how they've approached it. Weld County's numbers have been pretty good. So I think that's fascinating. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. Quick shout out, Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine with locations in Greeley and in Eaton. They've got blood flow restriction therapy that they're working through now. They've got just every possible way that you can think about how to get back and better than ever. It's Proactive Physical Therapy. Whether that surgery was elective or you were forced to do it, whether you're a senior citizen or an athlete trying to get back in the game, Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. More online at proactivecolorado.com. 4:34 the time. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Cindy Mackin, Winter Wonderlights with the City of Loveland, will join us. But first, let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center.
No Code Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. KFKA's Block Party, Wednesday nights. Back to NoCo now on 1310 KFKA.
Closing in on 4:40 now on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on at NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Great conversation there with Kevin Ross. I told you we got two VIP guests today. Very excited about this next one. I told you, Ryan, last week when we were talking about some events that we had going on, the Field of Honor event that we had going on, now it's a time for another event. This is what this show's all about. What can the people of Northern Colorado do? Who can they go see? What can they go see and celebrate? Well, now we are joined by Cindy Mackin, the Visitor Services Manager for the City of Loveland, to talk about the Winter Wonderlights. Cindy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. We're excited about what's about to happen.
Right, and I know that you are swamped right now, so I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes and chatting with me, but let's start with a very basic question for somebody who hasn't been to the Winter Wonderlights or doesn't know what the Winter Wonderlights is. What is it?
Sure. It is a walkable holiday light show, and it's 80,000 holiday lights. Choreographed to music. It's a half an hour long show, and it runs at the Chipungu Sculpture Park every night starting 14th through January 1st.
So it's pretty much Christmas lights on steroids. Is that a pretty good way to put it?
It's a really good way to put it. Think of your super crazy neighbor that, you know, sometimes they do the holiday light show and choreographed music and you can turn into a radio station or something. Well, instead of a radio station, we have these giant speakers that project all of your favorite holiday hits. And then we have this LED mappable tree, so okay, you can make all sorts of cool designs and swirls. It can be any color ever.
That's awesome.
And Rhythm Effects is a company that's out of Fort Collins, and they're actually the ones, the masterminds behind this. I just pick songs, and we help decorate, and we do this thing up right. But it's nice because it's outside, right?
Right.
And everybody right now is kind of like, hey, what can we do?
Exactly. Well, and I was just going to say that. So you seem to be one of the events out there that, you know, I'm sure COVID-19 has affected you guys in other ways. But as far as enjoying your product, there's not really been a lot of effects to it. People can still get outside and go for a walk and see all these lights.
They have been. You know, we've been setting this up. Actually, they started wrapping the trees in late September, if you can believe that. We asked to be in the park, and they started wrapping all of the trees while the weather was still good. And we're still not finished. Like a half an hour ago, we put in 25, what we're calling our social distancing North Poles. If you've ever been there, there's this place called the Great Lawn where most of the people gather to watch the show on the hill. And obviously, you know, we're in a different world right now. And so we're definitely encouraging people to social distance, to wear masks. We had to print up a bunch of new language and messaging you know, the only things that have really changed in terms of Winter Wonderlights is our live nights, and that's when we have performers. And the way that we are doing that this year has definitely changed.
So I was just going to bring that up, too, because you've got those live nights. That's where that's the only time you do have to get tickets to attend the event. That's on November 14th, November 28th, and December 4th. So are there still tickets available for those?
We have not released the tickets for the 28th and the 4th yet. You know, this weekend is kind of our pilot program. We're trying to make sure that we are adhering to all of the guidelines of Larimer County, which includes we can only have 175 people in the park at a time, and we have to do social distancing. We actually have really cool masks and sanitizer that we're handing out. So we're trying to make safe events look fun, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone's been trying to do this year. It's a tough thing, yep. Too, right? I mean, you got to be able, because we're so accustomed to be having these events when we have these gatherings. We want to be around people, and it's right. All about the atmosphere. So you got to find a way to adjust to it this year, and I'm sure you guys will.
We have, and really those social distancing North Poles that I just told you about, that was kind of an idea that came about. You know, how can we make this look cool? You know, yeah. How can we take advantage of it? And it really does add a lot of festive atmosphere. We did solar lights on these North Poles, and there's 25 red and white striped North Poles in the middle of the field, which, you know, we had never needed to do before. And usually we have a big igloo there. But it actually adds a lot of really cool lighting to it, and it's kind of fun.
There you go. I mean, and there's, I've heard that too in these different things of there's been adjustments that have been made that are like, wait, maybe we'll keep that going forward. I mean, obviously, we obviously want this all to get behind us, but so there's been some adjustments just like that you talked about that could be going forward and could, you know, potentially make the event even better. We're talking with Cindy Mack and with the Winter Wonderlights that'll be coming up here with the city of Loveland. Okay, a little bit of a personal question here. So 80,000 lights, you're involved in hanging a lot of those. Do you even hang any Christmas lights up at your own personal house, or are you just so done with it by the time you're done with this festival that you're like, nope, that's enough for me?
I am so done with it. My husband will do the outside of our house. I still do the inside, but I do not hang a single light at my house. No, I'm over it by the end of this week.
I do not blame you one bit, the music, everything like that. So how did you take over and get a part of this? How long have you been a part of the Winter Wonderlights? And did you just have this love for Christmas and the Santa role had been filled, so you started looking elsewhere? Or how did you come about this?
You know, this actually happened 4 years ago after the flood, and we were looking for something to do because 34 was closed down, and we were trying to basically have an attraction during our shoulder season, which this is, because, you know, our whole charge is to get people to come to Northern Colorado to shop, eat, stay, play in Loveland. And we were like, okay, we need some sort of really cool holiday attraction. And, you know, we just kind of reached out to our partners. We looked for an ideal location that, A, had a lot of power. And the Chukrunga Sculpture Park, the way they built it, there's a ton of power here, which you need to run all of these different lights.
Yeah.
Also, we wanted to have something that was, you know, close to the interstate, so people, and it was more of a regional draw, people could get off and just kind of see it. And we needed to have enough room, you know. We wanted to make sure that this was spread out, and this is a really unique place. If you haven't been here, the Zimbabwe Stone Sculpture, it's the largest collection of Zimbabwe stone sculpture in the U.S., and it's in Loveland, and a lot of people have not been here. And we just thought, you know, this is a really cool place, and they have great parking, and they have great power, and Sentara and the Metro District came, you know, together as partners, and Lowe's has been an amazing partner. We have all these great partners that just kind of came to the table and said, yeah, let's make this happen. And every year it's grown, and this year has been no exception. Every time we reached out to somebody to ask them, you know, they're like, yeah, we need something positive and happy to kind of focus on, and, you know, nothing kind of gets you in the mood other than a bunch of lights and great holiday music.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. And I will say, I think it's appropriate that you guys are putting this up on November 14th. At least it's not going up like the minute after Halloween, because I think that can be a little early, right?
It is, but it's so funny because honestly, we've been talking about this since March of this year.
Oh my goodness.
We started hanging lights in September, so everybody thinks we're crazy, and we probably are.
Well, you're going to put on one hell of a show for the people of Northern Colorado. I'm looking forward to it again. It's starting up on November 14th. I am seeing here that there will be 30-minute music and light shows every single night. Where can people find the schedule for that?
Sure. So if they just go to visit loveland.com. There's a whole page that's dedicated just to winter wonderlights, and it will tell you. So, like I said, the 14th, we actually sold out in 20 minutes, 800 tickets in 20 minutes.
Holy
if you can believe
cow.
It.
That's awesome.
It was crazy, and we were like, oh, my gosh. You know, we've never had to ticket this before. Normally, people would just come in, but this, again, we had to change everything up for the live night, and it sold out 800 tickets in 20 minutes. So,
congratulations
like I said,
to you and your team, because that's a great win.
It is a great win, but every night, so the first time, if you don't have tickets the 14th, come on the 15th, come on the 16th. All of the other nights, other than the three live nights that you mentioned, which are November 14th, the 28th, and December 4th, please feel free and come out 5 to 9 p.m., and the light show will be running continuously from 5 to 9.
Well, I'm just looking at all of these different things. I mean, there's going to be live reindeer on site. There's going to be food trucks on those three special nights. I mean, there's just so many things that you're literally creating a winter wonderland.
We're trying to bring some happiness, right? I've been amazed as we've just been putting all this stuff up because we've been putting kind of the big things up this week. Everybody who walks by just continuously thanks us and says, you know, thank you so much for doing this. We're so excited about this. We're going to bring our grandchildren or we're going to bring our kids to this. And, you know, it's a great way. I think people are looking forward to the holidays. So it's a great way to kick it off.
This is Cindy Mackin with the City of Loveland joining us talking about the Winter Wonderlights. One thing that did stand out too, visitors are encouraged to bring and donate canned foods to benefit the food bank for Larimer County. So you guys, another great partnership there.
Yes, they have been a wonderful partner every single year, and we never want to charge for this. So in lieu of actually charging, we would like to collect food for the Food Bank of Larimer County to just kind of give back. And last year, we collected over 1,500 pounds, so we were very excited about that.
That's so awesome. Cindy, these are the type of things we need more of, especially this year, not just this year, but especially this year.
Yep.
Positive energy behind it, a positive outlook, and even for a more positive cause there, Cindy Mackin. Did I miss anything at all that people need to know about this Winter Wonderlights?
No, just the only nights you need tickets are those three nights, and otherwise, come on out, enjoy it with your family, bring a canned food for the Food Bank of Larimer County, and just, you know, come up to Northern Colorado and see all of the wonderful things that there are to see here for the holidays.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I'll let you. I'm sure you're not done working for the day, so I'll let you I'll let you get back at it. Maybe was I giving you a little bit of a break? Or is the rest
of
your team?
Nice. I came into my car and I warmed up. It was very exciting. Thank you.
I was gonna say, is the rest of your team like giving you the side eye right now, saying, "Come on,
kind
get
of.
Back out here."
Yep. What are you doing? I don't think she's really having an interview anymore. She's just wanting to stay in her car.
Cindy, thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping on here, and we'll be sure to come check it out. But good luck. Good luck going forward with this, and I'm sure we'll be talking real soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is Cindy Mackin with the City of Loveland, the Winter Wonderlights. 80,000 bulbs. Like, I'll be honest, like I love Christmas, but I didn't even put my Christmas tree up last year, and they're putting up 80,000 lights. It's insane. It looks really awesome. So again, the website's visitlovelandco.org. Again, visitlovelandco.org/winter wonderlights. You'll be able to check it out there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely getting out there this year. Go take the girlfriend out on a date and take her over there and check out the Winter Wonderlights. If you're looking for a date night too, maybe you don't want to go to Loveland, it's the tavern at St. Michael Square. Take your significant other over there. They've got trivia going on tonight, but any other night, tomorrow, Friday night, long week, go take your girl out there, take your boy out there, take your significant other. Let's go. Let's get out there, have that date night, and get things rolling. It's the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Tell me, heard about them right here on 1310 KFK. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side and wrap up this edition of NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Back to NoCo Now on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into NoCo Now. Final thought here. We've had a couple of great interviews today. The coronavirus, the COVID-19 numbers did just come out. I've tried to stay on the optimistic side of all this, and I'm staying there. Today was the smallest one-day increase in hospitalizations since November 1st. That's 2 weeks. So could it just be a one-day blip? Unfortunately, yes, it could be. But could it be more? Yes, and I'm hoping that it is. Hey, quick reminder, tonight, 6 o'clock, we have Kyle Johnson and Daniel Aleman, our broadcast crew, our Preps broadcast crew, out on the road. They've got Loveland and Skyline. This very well could be for a 4A playoff spot. Huge implications, and you can hear it here on 1310 KFKA. It's the whole show leading up till 6 o'clock, then the Proactive Physical Therapy pregame show starting then. Tomorrow, what's in store for us? We'll be back, you betcha. We've got Matt Makins, Channel 2 meteorologist, will join us. What's this weekend forecast going to look like? And we got more football, high school football, that we're going to be broadcasting. I want to know how big of a coat I need to be wearing. So we'll have that, more on COVID-19, more on these local issues. As always, for Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schmidt. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.